Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll be hearing from producer and multi-instrumentalist Grizz. But before we get started, I want to let you know that KUTX, the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast, is celebrating Willie Nelson's 86th birthday this weekend by playing his music all weekend long. You can tune in to KUTX at 98.9 on your radio dial here in Austin or online at KUTX.org or on our app to hear your favorite Willie songs alongside some truly wonderful deep cuts. It's our way of thanking the artist and the universe for the gift that is Willie Nelson's music. Also, if you live in Austin, then you have a chance to see a live taping of this podcast this Sunday, April 28th at 3 p.m. I'm going to be talking to Chrissy Tegerstrom from the Beyond and Back podcast. It's all part of the Tiny Texas Podcast Festival, which is going down from 9 to 5 in the Belo Center for New Media on the UT campus. It's a full day of podcast goodness, and at 4 p.m., you can stick around and hang with other podcasters and podcast lovers as part of the Austin Lady Pods meetup. So I'll see you there. And now to Grizz. He's an electronic musician and producer and performer and multi-instrumentalist. He plays piano and guitar and saxophone. The sax shows up a lot in his work, actually. And he mixes elements of electronic music with funk and soul to make music that, like, it makes you want to move. He released his latest project, Ride Waves, in the beginning of April, and he has some very cool folks join him on this record, like Snoop Dogg, Bootsy Collins, and Wiz Khalifa, and the songs on Ride Waves, they're definitely for dancing, though you may be crying a little while you're dancing to some of them. That's because Grizz has a serious range of emotion on this new record. Dare I say that you, like, ride a wave of emotion when you listen to it. I spoke to him by phone before the release of the record, and he told me about a musical experience he had as a very young child that primed him to make a record like Ride Waves.
When I was very young, my mom used to run errands and leave me at my grandparents' house for them to watch me so she could handle her biz. And she would park me in front of the TV and she would throw on Fantasia. And I know this isn't a particular song that changed my life, but it was what I felt like and what I see as now, the kind of like the start of my musical awareness. I would watch this so often that the VHS tape burnt out and my mom had to purchase me a new one to watch. And I believe that I watched this so many times that there was something imprinted in my brain of how music related to my sensual experience in life and my emotional experience in life. It's like classical music, right? So it's developed some part of my brain that unlocked some kind of understanding of what musical arrangement is and sounds like and what kind of works and what kind of flows together. Classical music is so, it has such a journey to it. You know, it's very anti-pop in its formatting. And I think that that's kind of what tricked my brain into understanding music as more of a visualized journey rather than just a, not just, but rather than a song in a pop format. The film is centered around an orchestra, like real life orchestra. And they have this visual component to it, and they're all surrounded around a conductor, and then the conductor, everybody was in black against a very colorful backdrop. that was, it was like backlit, you know? And there's an intermission where they introduce the sound wave, and the sound wave is representative of the visual component of sound as per each instrument that is playing.
Before we get into the second half of the program, I'd like to introduce somebody to you. Somebody who is very important to Fantasia. He's very shy and very retiring. I just happened to run across him one day at the Disney Studios. But when I did, I suddenly realized that here was not only an indispensable member of the organization, but a screen personality whose possibilities nobody around the place had ever noticed. And so, I'm very happy to have this opportunity to introduce to you the soundtrack.
And I remember being so infatuated with seeing what sound looked like in a representation of a sound wave as each instrument played, and each instrument had a different color, and if it was louder, it was more red, or if it was softer, it was more cool colored and relaxing looking. And that was like, it was just so interesting to me to see something like the dissolve into a realistic application. It was just, I thought it was so interesting.
Now let's have a brass instrument, the trumpet.
I think what it really did was it helped me, it didn't help me, but it introduced me to kind of the feeling that sound could create a universe. It could create this imaginative play. And I remember when I was a little bit older, there were moments where I would sit down at the piano. This is pre like having any formal training to piano, and I would just sit down at the piano and I would play random notes for hours, my mom would tell me. I would just sit there and play notes for hours, not know what I was playing, but in my head, I remember I would make a movie out of it. I'd make a scene, I'd make some sort of journey happen with it and play with emotion, and like the emotion of the playing, the loudness, the quietness would kind of dictate or be dictated by the kind of journey that I was going on in my head. It was very cerebral, very dreamlike. And it wasn't so much about the notes that were being played and the mode or the scale or any chords that were happening. It was just all about how music felt, the emotional quality of it, led by some sort of visual imagination journey, you know? Fantasia made me feel very curious. It sparked such a curiosity in my brain about what was going on.
People know you as an electronic musician, but you are a multi-instrumentalist. You play all different kinds of instruments. You started on piano, is that right?
Yeah.
And when you started playing piano, did you bring that curiosity with you to music? Was that like a primary driver of what interested you about music? Just trying to figure out how it worked?
I think that my curiosity for music didn't really kick in the way that I wanted it to until I was introduced into the computer music format, because then I had the chance to be the composer and the conductor of an infinite amount of instruments at the same time. When I was playing piano, it was very one-sided. I only had one instrument to focus on. It definitely sparked a lot of extra curiosity, and it was the way that I could express myself through music at the time. Shortly thereafter, I was introduced to playing saxophone and to singing in the choir at church, and I found playing guitar, as a lot of kids do. The computer, though, was really what did it for me, because you were given the opportunity to not only be the conductor and composer of everything and of every minute detail, but also you were allowed to create a composition, save your work, and then have that like robot instrument army
perform that music for you exactly how you left it. I was really, 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 really blown away. Thought that was the coolest thing ever.
So what was your first experience with making music on a computer?
I was introduced to computer music by way of a genre of music called glitch and IDM, which is intelligent dance music, and drum and bass. My friend's older brother gave us, our group of friends, computer music and computer music writing software by way of Fruity Loops Studio, like 4 or 3. It was pretty rudimentary at the time. And marijuana as well. And it was a lot to take in. And it was also the perfect storm for me to plug in and to explore. The genre of IDM, glitch, and drum and bass, they're kind of a little bit of a Venn diagram. They all kind of have this crossover, but it was artists like Square Pusher. And Aphex Twin, and Plug. And the name of the game for me, from what I understood it was, be as complex as possible. The skill in the composition is all about how complicated you can make it and use drum sounds to create instrument noises. You know, this is like, it's like a big rebellion as to what music should sound like, and it was like the new final frontier. The compositions are like A to Z compositions, or like zero to infinity. You know, there isn't like a intro, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse 2, middle 8, you know, chorus, post-chorus, and or outro. You know, like it didn't kind of like do that format. It was like, here's sounds, and it could be all the sound at once from the start of the track, or it would, you know, bleed into something and develop. It was perfectly imaginative, strange, and the compositions felt so classical because the voice came from the storytelling of the development of the sounds and the way that it captured your attention. And yeah, it's interesting to think that, you know, that kind of these producers are kind of like as close to classical compositions as you're going to get within electronic music, which is really cool.
Like I said earlier, Ride Waves, Grizz's latest album, covers a lot of emotional ground. And it also finds the artist taking a slightly different approach to the way that he crafts his songs.
At this point, I've written so many songs. And I've never wanted to... The big thing for me is that I never want to stop learning. That's like that Einstein quote. It's like, as soon as I stop learning, I start dying. And in order to learn, I need to observe, and I like to develop. So with Ride Waves, you know, like at least in like a format sense, my formative years of producing music has turned into, well, I would really love to write a more concise song, because as much of a challenge as it is to write a 9-minute long exploration of sound, it's also super challenging to condense down an emotional journey within a 3.5-minute long track, and also give the listener and yourself, because that honestly, it happens for me first, but give myself the same kind of emotional compulsion and emotional catharsis within a song. Of the songs released, we started releasing this record in a way that showed more of a balance towards the positive side of the experience that I've been having over the past year and a half. There's also a side to the record that is very, it's dark and lends the more like super vulnerable like feeling.
Oh, baby, this is so very new. Something that could be so beautiful.
I think that having the balance of those two sounds and that emotional quality is really what defines Ride Waves as a concept. And having all these different feelings and different kinds of sounds, I think what has happened for me is that the albums themselves have turned into the hour-long journey through the entire life and dynamism of emotions. So instead of kind of condensing that into one song, now it's like an album of here's like a lighthearted moment that's short, simple, and sweet, and here's a 5.5 minute long song about, you know, going deep and digging deep and being introspective and being introverted, and then met with like something that is celebratory, because I feel all those feelings, and that's Ride Waves is about every mood in life and about honoring those and creating, especially in those sad times, I need to be able to create a safe space to positively experience negative emotions.
It's like you get to create your own Fantasia.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And this is It Gets Better, featuring Drom from Grizz's new album, Ride Waves. And I love that journey from Fantasia to like Square Pusher to this album, Ride Waves. It's cool, right? It's wonderful, like the journey that music can take us on. Grizz will be heading out on the road starting in May, which is like next week, which is crazy. You can head to the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org to find a link to his tour dates. You can also find a link there where you can listen to the entirety of Ride Waves, because I know you want to. And as always, you can find a Spotify playlist there where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And hey, if you dug this episode, please leave a rating or a review on iTunes or tell a friend about us. We just want as many people as possible to hear these stories. And just so you know, you can like just ask for this song. If you use Google Assistant or Google Home, all you have to do is ask for the This Song podcast from KUTX, and we'll be right there for you. And that's it. You've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to our interns Felix Kimbrell, Emily Wilson, and Simone Puglia for all their help. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.